Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Apologies for somewhat of a break that we've had, you know, due to international football concerns. But this is Achtung Millwall, your number one source for all things Lions. My name is Aaron Paul, but I'm joined by the regular crew with me. Apologies for that. For terrible, terrible unprofessionalism there. Nick Cott, the daddy-o, is in the building. How are you, pal? How's the romantic weekend?
It was lovely, Aaron. Actually, we went down to a little place just outside of Brighton called Rottingdean. Very posh, very nice. Had a nice break.
Delightful, delightful. Young Mickey Avery is in the building as well. We've been bigging up your club shop update.
There's a few surprises this week, mate. It's the gift that keeps on giving, the club shop update, I've got to say.
Yeah, I saw a lady who shouted out that her son had been given, I think, £50 from Millwall to use in the club shop. And I just thought I had to tag you in that.
You could buy shares for 50 quid in the club
shop. And joining us from the heartland of nuclear Ukraine, it's Harry Warren. Chernobyl Charlie, how are you, pal?
Yeah, not too bad, boys. You all right?
Not too bad. You got your Brexit visa sorted out for the full
check? I got my visa. I'll be able to come back to the country on Saturday.
I just hope you got a job to come back to, Harry, after the 12th.
It'll be extended again, won't it?
It'll be extended again.
Well, it depends. It depends on what you believe.
Yeah, we're
getting into a political podcast. So I didn't think we were one.
We're a different podcast for that.
The only politics we do is that, you know, if you're not with us, you're against us. So fuck no one likes us talking and loves sport, and we'll continue to do our own thing. Fuck everyone. That's very Millwall.
Excellent.
That's my diplomacy. No deal means no deal.
There is a no deal. Hard Brexit.
Well, we've done a hard exit from Love's Fault, to be fair. So.
We did. I might have to put Aaron out of the room for a moment, but I'm quite proud of what we did with Love's Fault Raiders. Oh my God, what's that? Is that 2 minute warning?
That's the Love's Fault alarm. We've said it 3 times in 5 minutes.
Is that Angela Merkel on the attack?
That's the no one likes us talking. Crush, shock and awe. Stop bombing me.
I'm just going to say I'm quite proud of what we did with Love Sport Radio. I think we you know, no one else did that. No one else stood up for themselves, and I'm quite proud of what we did there. So big up for us. I say, Aaron, you can come back into the room again now, mate.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm back in the building. Should we talk a bit about Millwall?
Yeah, talk about Leeds.
Millwall 3, Leeds 3. Firstly, some apologies from yourself, Nick.
Yeah, sound quality up at Leeds was a little bit wayward, and the reason for that, listeners, was that I went up there with my little Lavalier microphone, my on the road microphone, and it was simply overwhelmed by the sheer loudness of the Millwall travelling support. It was incredibly loud. In fairness, I thought it was a great atmosphere. I mean, I know that we get under Leeds' skin and we all say the usual things to each other, but I actually enjoy games against Leeds. It's a great venue. It's that they put up a good atmosphere on their own side. They got good reason to this season. but the Mill support brought their A game to it as well, and it was really, really loud. So last week's podcast, listeners, I'm afraid, was a little bit wayward sound-wise, so I apologise to that. I always give a money-back guarantee, though, so send me your invoices, and I'll send you some money back for whatever, you know, whatever you've paid out to listen to. Vouchers. Absolutely, absolutely. But great performance by the Lions, but as we've said how many times now, is it 15 times I've seen on the news at the end, late goals have been the undoing of us. And I'm sure I said, or was it 15 points we've lost? We've let 15 points go astray as a result of late goals this season.
I mean, I saw a stat by John Kelly listed all the times, 81 or something like that. He's just gone for every single minute that, you know, Millwall have conceded stupid goals in. And it makes quite, you know, interesting reading, don't get me wrong, but concerning as well. It just shows that they're not playing for the full 90 minutes, which is ever so slightly worrying as the business end of the season looms.
I saw a tweet, and it was I can't remember what the name of the feed was. It was like a Leeds United tactics. Some nerd somewhere follows each Leeds game and does a tactical analysis, which is way beyond me. I mean, it looked like
some nerd.
Like, yeah, some Leeds nerd. And they did like a Professor Einstein analysis of the tactics of the game, and Bielsa made some changes to the Leeds format in the second half, which clearly we didn't respond to. And I mean, in real time, I think I said that they were coming down our flanks pretty much relentlessly at one point, and that's what cost us goals. And you know, I think that's.
That's my nuclear deterrent, lads. That's the warning, state the obvious. Mill concede from wide areas alarm.
But we didn't respond to those tactical changes. I mean, I can't remember the players they brought on, but they certainly made a difference. They looked dangerous when they came at us. And once again, a great Mill performance undone late. And it's hard to take. That was a hard one to take last Saturday because I thought we did well up there.
One thing that does concern me, though, Nick, you saying that it was a great performance. You know what I saw the highlights and when I heard your podcast back. There's a couple of things, should I say, that concern me. One, you probably remember, like sort of mid to late 90s, and I know we touched on this a few months back on the show that, you know, we don't talk about anymore. But there was a time, you know, under McCarthy, under Nick, or under these kind of managers, under Stevens, McCleary. That when that sort of like 4 minutes to go, that was when the Mill fans groaned, because it was always like we'd always concede late.
And then we saw the Witter zone, Michael. Do you remember the time? Yeah, of the Witter zone.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, exactly that. And it was always those last few minutes, you know, when we'd be holding that lead, and it seems to have gone a bit like that now. But also another thing that sort of concerned me a bit as well is if you watch our other teams defend against us. Yeah. They like instantly sort of double up on Lee Gregory, or they double up on Jed Wallace, or the Danger Man, or they keep Ferguson quiet. Pablo Hernandez, that's the chap, isn't it, who plays for Leeds?
Yeah.
He's been like their second top goal scorer and arguably their player of the season. You know, he didn't make the championship side of 2018-19, and there was uproar. You know, you had that Timu Pukki or Peku or whatever his name is from Norwich, 27 goals or 28 goals or whatever it was.
We didn't mark against us.
Yeah, but still, we didn't mark him, and he bossed the game. This weekend, we've got Dwight Gow and Jay Rodriguez for West Brom. Will we see a similar thing again, where they get a little bit of freedom?
Well, they'll get masses of freedom because Millwall can't defend. It's very clear.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. You know, like all these other teams keep our danger men quiet. We can't seem to do that. And that must be why we concede late.
I don't think they do keep us quiet, because I think we're scoring enough goals all of a sudden to win games. I just think we've, this season, in its entirety, we haven't been thumped. We've lost by the odd goal. I can't remember us getting proper banged 3-4-0.
Only Preston came closest, didn't they, when they turned us over badly in that
first. Yeah,
but we made a comeback, so I take the point.
Yeah, no one's smashing us aside, and... That is my only saving grace, is that I'd looked at the table earlier on today, was that our goal difference is significantly better than Rotherham. And realistically, a point against West Brom and 3 points off QPR would be a fantastic week. I can't, you know, if we get anything out of West Brom, I saw on telly last week, they were fantastic. They absolutely annihilated Birmingham. I mean, the goals, they're top quality finishes, and that's another thing. We, you know, Thompson suddenly come back and scored more goals than I think the front line combined. It's ridiculous, but you know, you can't take Gregory out, because without Gregory, we are absolutely lost up front. So I don't know what the answer is. Maybe sign a left back in the summer, that might be a start, and maybe sign a right back in the summer, that might be another start. So
I hate to say it as well, on the road, West Brom have they are leading the Championship form guide over the last 10 away games as well. They've won 8, lost 2 of those games. But, you know, I still think there is that sort of little bit of weakness about them. There is that opportunity to pen them in and really, really test them. They've shown they can be weak at some points of the season. You know, they're 11 points off of Norwich, who are top. They're still a while out of those automatic places. It looks like they're going to get playoffs, but you know, I still think there is an opportunity there for Millwall.
I mean, West Brom's going to be tough opponents. There's no hiding from the fact we've got quite a tough run in. But I went up to Leeds more in hope than expectation last Saturday, and I was really pleased with the way we took the game to them. We got in front of them twice. It may be that, you know, that with their resources, they've got players that they can bring into a game and change it. They've got a manager that, all joking aside, I think is clearly a top-flight manager, potentially, and will do well, I think, in the Premier League. That's no Lou talking disagreeing with me with it. And we are who we are. We don't have those kinds of resources. I was really happy with what I saw from Millwall. We get unpicked. They work out how to unpick our defence. The weak points were on the left and right flanks. They attacked it, and you know, we just couldn't sustain that through to a finish. Can we do it on Saturday? I if we can get in front again, this will be at the Den, and you know, there'll be a changed situation. They've got great support up at Leeds, but it was quite a different kind of feel there. But what else? We can only play with the way we can play at the moment. We're not going to change it now. So we've got to press on with our own style and hope that prevails over teams. Hopefully, less to play for.
How many more points do you think we need?
That is a great question, man.
I think 9.
I was going to say a couple of wins, you know, to start off with. Clearly, I mean, state the bloody obvious. I mean, a win Saturday would be a major step forwards for us. Hopefully, if other results go our way, then that might be a massive win Saturday if we can pull it off.
Three. Massive.
QPR's huge in the week. And then
that's the game in hand, though, isn't it?
No, it's not the game in hand. The game in hand is Bristol City.
That's at the end.
I'll tell you who are in big trouble, Birmingham. They're in big, big, big shtuck.
And yeah, they're on the slide, aren't they?
But they only took 9 points off them. They could have taken 12 points off them, and they'd be in an even worse position than QPR. I don't think QPR have won in 5 games. So that is the 2-minute warning, the QPR, Steve McLaren, Ian Holloway cunt warning. It couldn't happen to two nicer people, really, could it?
I don't mind McLaren. I mean, he generates a lot of hatred. I don't mind him to the level that others seem to
like
have.
It's like a burnt foreskin.
is that Leeds new striker from Norway or somewhere?
Timo Burnt Forskin.
Who's Rotherham got tomorrow? I mean, this Rotherham got Forest at home.
I was going to make a joke then, and I'm really glad I didn't. And if we were on the radio still, it would have been definite dump button. And I have rolled it back into my mouth as I said that. That was quite lucky.
You've seen the same video that I've seen, Harry. Rotherham. Rotherham at home to Forest, you'd think Forest should get something there at Rotherham tomorrow. Who else? Bolton have got Ipswich, so there's a relegation 6 points.
Norwich have got QPR as well.
Yeah.
I don't think 50 points. I think you could get away with, I reckon, 47. This year to keep you up. We've got 37 looking at it, and Blackburn are on 47, and that's a lot of grand. That's a lot of sort of grand to make up for the other teams around Blackburn, for them to slip up. I know they've only got what four losses in their last 5, but I think 47 will keep you safe.
I mean, a win for
Mickey there, who's our resident Carol Vorderman.
There you go.
On a much less scientific basis, a win for us tomorrow and a loss potentially for Rotherham will give us a good amount of blue water, and that's
4 points.
Yeah, that's
and the goal difference.
and the goal difference. So, you know, yeah, clearly a lot of football to be played yet. But I think we've got the ingredients. I said this on the show last week when I did the little Sky TV thing. I do think we've got it within our power to survive this season. The performance was that good. Yeah. I mean, Ben Thompson coming back into the frame, massive player. I mean, it was a wonderful performance from Ben Thompson up there at Leeds. You know, at this stage of the season, I know that Neil wants to defend Leeds, and you know, when we're ahead. But I think that our starting 11 should maybe finish the game more often, because we look at our best with that starting 11, and as soon as we start bringing subs in, it's when it starts to go awry.
I think Marshall and Ferguson, for me, are the two that have to start on the left side. I know Ferguson's still suspended.
He was suspended for a couple more. Yeah,
but you can't, you know, Meredith is a spent force for me. Meredith is not very good at all. Seems to come on, he seems to concede goals. So,
I mean, he was badly found out up there at Elland Road. I think it was, they're a decent team, Leeds, and I thought they got some decent players. But yeah, I just can't get away from the fact we were leading there. You know, it's all this kind of big stadium, Bielsa.
And we were leading twice, weren't we?
Leading twice and looking the part as well.
Yeah, we were leading twice, and Dave Martin saved the penalty. You know, what more do you need? You know, to fire you up.
They moved the ball quickly, and I can't remember the stats there. They had like a decisive number of shots over us, and possession was vastly in their favour. But if we bring the same approach to these final eight games, there's no reason to think that we've no reason to be despondent. I think we can do it personally.
Achtung, Mühlwall.
Whilst we're at it, can I advertise our network game, please? So we have an Achtung Millwall Football Manager 19 network game. The game is available via CD Keys for about 15 or so quid. Hit me up for the link. But yeah, we're running a bit of a championship game at the moment. Harry's not doing too badly at all, although he's suffering from slight fiscal issues at the moment. DM us if you want the FM19 login and password. To come and join in the network.
Contact any of us, and I'm not involved in this, listeners.
I think you'd be pleasantly surprised of how addicted Nick would become to this game. Nick's got a thing about social media that Nick sits on it for so much with Mrs. Hart in Shea Hart for quite a long period of time.
Nick, I want to know more about your uncle Morris or Maury.
Maury?
Yeah.
What do you want to know? He worked for a bookmaker, a local bookmaker who I believe was connected with South London villainy. Yeah. Back in
this isn't season. Where your hatred of bookies comes from, Mr. Hart, is it?
No. I mean, I was brought up with a hatred of bookmakers because all of my families were inveterate gamblers. So, funnily enough, I've never really, you know, taken to gambling particularly.
Any tips for an
international hit? My tip is don't do it, because I've seen bookmakers and they're the ones with all the money, and the punters that were in the betting shops were generally skinned by the end of the day, including my old grandfather. But no, my uncle Morris worked for a bookmaker called Gus Ash. Older listeners might know that name, because they were local bookmakers around Peckham, Bermondsey, New Cross, around the manor, as we'd call it. And Ashy was a bit like Arthur Daly's wife. You know, she was always in the series, but you never met her. So Ashy was this kind of figure that I heard a lot about, but never met. And Maury was worked for a bookmaker for a long time. Used to bring home the day's takings, and had like all this pile of tenors and twenties and fivers on the dinner table. Different era. I think Ashy did.
I want to know about the time where he worked for Mr. Kipling. Forget the bookie.
Yeah, he got a job. He got a job working for Mr. Kipling, delivering Mr. Kipling cakes. So he used to obviously some.
How many of them used to go missing?
Loads. Because every time we went around Maury's place, there was loads of fondant fancies. And as a kid, I used to love fondant fancies.
I still do. They're top quality cakes.
Top quality, and they used to have this kind of faux cream that was inside the little domey bit of icing, sponge of cream. It weren't really cream, but we always cherry baked walls, Mr. Kipling products generally, but fondant fancies in particular. And he used to talk about the job, and the kind of the unique selling point of the job was the fact there's loads of fiddle to be had on the job. So,
Acton Mill, ladies and gentlemen, available for sponsorship by any local cake company.
Any cake company, pie company, whatever.
On Mill sponsorship news, I have found another company sponsored by Husky Chocolate.
Which one's that?
Zampafish.
McLaren Formula One team are sponsored by Husky Chocolate as well.
Really?
Oh, wow.
They are.
Wow.
On their halos, which is their new thing that protects the driver's head, they have a sponsor next to their McLaren F1 logo. It says Husky Chocolate. And I googled it to make sure it was the same brand that sponsors us, and it is. So
I'll
we're
twinned
with McLaren, which means we'll be back-end grid, which suits the club, really. We'll be a back-end grid team trying to live on to past glory. So that's very much like Millwall, barring the past glories bit.
Exactly.
Husky Hot Chocolate is the ultimate chocolate drink for adventure and expedition, you know?
Expedition, if you're going to go across the North Pole or something.
I'll tell you what, who needs oxygen on Mount Everest when you've got Huskies?
Yeah, that's when you need it in the death zone at the top of Everest. Brian Blessed shouting Husky Chocolate, that's what I need.
We've strayed far from the path of Neil Harris and Leeds.
Well, to be fair, a man who was once on the top of the mountain is now staring at the relegation zone.
Yeah,
I saw a very young picture of Neil Harris the other day, looking very, very young indeed. My, how he has aged, didn't he?
Yeah, he has aged.
Was that the Cambridge?
No, in the Millwall shirt, in the Ryman shirt.
The Ryman shirt?
That would be one year. That'd be back in the Fiat Patricia.
2004.
03 or 04. Yeah.
The Wonderwall Cup 2019 will be held at the Den, Bank Holiday Sunday, May the 26th, 2019. Lions legends including Jimmy Carter, Alex Ray, and the star of Championship manager Cherno Samba will take on the stars of social media, including the F2 freestylers Bradley Simmons and comedian Man Like Hacks. Why not make it a family day out? £10 entry fee for adults, £6 for the under 16s, and just £3 for the under 12s. The proceeds from the match will be split 50-50 between Childline and the veterans charity SAFA. Tickets are available now at www.millwalltickets.com. www.millwalltickets.com. The Wonderwall Cup, Sunday, May the 26th, 2019. See you there.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Neil talking about the season's failing of conceding late goals. He says it's not physical fatigue, which I'd hope it wouldn't be, but it's mental fatigue. Players getting mentally tired. I mean, I don't entirely buy that because it's happened so often over the course of the season. It can't be mental fatigue so often. It's a failure of tactical approach. It's a failure of preparation. I don't buy the idea that we're conceding late goals because we're getting mentally fatigued. That was on news at Den. I don't know if anyone else saw that.
Yeah, that's a poor excuse in my opinion. I mean, we've been conceding them since the start of the season, and in that theory, we've been tired since the Middlesbrough game, which was the first game of the season. Yeah, I don't buy that.
I mean, it has to be resolved. We can't take that into next season. We're presuming that we survive, and that's not a done deal yet. But if we do survive the Championship, it's got to be something that we deal with over the course of the summertime. We just can't keep on shipping late goals like this. It's unacceptable.
I think if we survive this season, we'll be all right next season. I generally think it's one of those. Do you know what I mean? I think the league's moved on a hell of a lot in a season that we have. You know, we've almost stood still this season and everyone else has taken two steps forward.
I don't agree with that completely, Harry.
Yeah, I agree.
Think the budgets, the budgets are ridiculous. They're only ever going to get more. I mean, to be honest, financial fair play, the club should really look into just breaking it, to be fair, because nothing seems to happen. So you get one free anyway. So you might as well spend 100 million and get bailed out afterwards, because that's my opinion on it. Might as well buy two decent left backs.
We know John Belson listens to our show, so this hope he follows that advice.
Do you know what? On that point, Harry, I've got to say, I was going to mention this later on, but just slightly off course of the Neil Harris thing, but touching on what you're saying about the money. If you look at the moment, there was a thing on BBC earlier on where it's like Premiership A or Premier League agents have been what is it? So something like 260 million they've been paid or something ridiculous like that. You know, you've
260,
got
260, yeah.
Yeah, and then you've got Tottenham, who have declared profit, even though they've had to build a £1 billion stadium and everything like that. And now you've got all this at the top of the pyramid, and then like you say, Harry, you try and do it properly like we do, and you're punching above your weight. You've got teams like Bolton. Yes, I know they've got arguably not the greatest of owners, but they're struggling financially. And Macclesfield and Bury now, two League Two clubs who are now struggling with wages and finances.
With Oxford as well, Michael, as well, I see. Winding up position for Oxford.
Exactly. Oh, they've
had about three of them already this season. Yeah. I wouldn't even bother watching Oxford.
No. Yeah, it's poor. It's poor. And like you're saying, Harry, you might as well just, you know, do you know what, give it a go. This on out of Wonga loan of 100 million. Buy what we can, because ultimately you don't seem to get too punished for it.
The game is, I mean, it's a regular thing. It's almost a cliche now that the game is so... So twisted in the way that the top table is so hugely wealthy, and you know, you've got just those examples there, Michael, Bury, Macclesfield, Oxford, there's others, Bolton. You know, how many clubs do you see around that are struggling? It's
almost
like no one's in charge.
It's not just,
you know,
that. Sorry to cut across, but it's not just that as well. It's when you do find the youth prospect, the new Chirimo Samba. You know, we signed that. The young boy Darko, right?
Yeah.
He goes
for
£1 million to Man City, which in the grand scheme of things for Man City, as the alarm of Man City goes off now. That's that's their financial fair play klaxon. When you look at it that way, that is a drop in the ocean to Man City. That's probably not Sergio Aguero's wages for a month. You know what I mean? £1 million. And to Millwall, this is a vast amount of sums, and there should be some reward, or there should be a rule that Chelsea and Manchester City are not allowed to give those players professional contracts and loan them out to people like mercenaries. That's all it is. There's players that have played their entire careers at Chelsea without ever playing a game at Chelsea, and they're 25. You know, they've been on loan since day dot, and it is the Football Association's responsibility, because they set the rules. They're the ones that govern from the sport.
Who's the young chap that Chelsea had the midfield who then went to Brentford?
Josh McEachran.
Yes, I'll tell you what, he was literally meant to be like the sort of elect for when Lampard jacked it in, weren't he? He was literally meant to be the one, and it's like you're saying, Harry. They never wanted to give him the chance, even though he was meant to be like the new messiah, if you will. And there has to be something. I mean, who was it? I think it was Chelsea. They had practically an entire squad out on loan. Now, when Jose Mourinho was there, are you telling me he was going to fly up to Scotland to watch their 17-year-old left-back who's on loan at Hibs? Of course
he
was.
No.
I tell you what, just back on jumping back on the old finance and football thing. The interesting thing about Derby that came out this week about their owner, Mel Morris, selling the stadium to himself so that they avoid an FFP sanction. But, you know, finance on a whole in the Championship seems, I mean, baffling at points. Just looking through, again, going to this guy's account, people have asked me about it. Price of football at Kieran Maguire is the gentleman's name. He deciphered club accounts. I mean, look at Brentford, for example, across London. Counterpart, Matthew Benham, their owner, led Brentford £12.3 million interest-free in 2017-18. That means his total input into the club has been £76 million, plus shares of £38 million. You know, they purchased £11 million worth of players, sold £15 million worth of players. Here's the key one, though. They pay out £135 in wages for every £100 of income in 2017-18. You know, the mass of it is just absolutely farmy. And people talk about Brentford as this club that's sustainable and whatnot. Well, without their own,
it's like the ITV digital thing all over again. Do you remember when they all their bets on it all working and clubs went under? And you know, it's but realistically, I mean, I can't work this out, but I do think, and I don't want to see this, but the TV money in football is vital now to these clubs. So I totally understand and I totally get why they go searching for the TV money. But we need to have somewhere where the championship needs the exclusive rights still. But I do think it needs to be accessible. So because I think the championship this season, all right, we've had a title race this season in the Premier League, but how many seasons in the last 10 years have we had one of those? You know, the championship is captivating to watch. The football is shit. I will not define that the standard is, you know, a Friday night game between Millwall and Bolton isn't going to be one for the football purists.
No.
You know, it's more the battle of the den rather than, you know, than beautiful Beckenbauer-style passes. But it does have its drama. Football's about stories. Sport is about stories. And it has its own, you know, two clubs battling for survival in different ways. You could say any way you want, like that. And I think people would buy it because obviously people buy iFollow. So they must be a cry out there to give it more prime time. I don't understand why every round of midweek fixtures, because in the fact that Sky no longer has Spanish football, it no longer has Italian football. I just think it's Sky doesn't really care about the championship. It's sponsored the championship and they don't care about it. They don't promote it in the way that it needs to be promoted or looked after. You know, they've got millions and millions of pounds.
That's the same argument, though. I mean, all of the major sports, and I know you're a Formula One fan, Harry, and you go back into the day, Formula One, all the major sporting occasions were free to watch on the BBC or ITV or Channel 4 or whatever. And there's a debate always. Do you gain anything by selling your soul, as football's done? It's gained this kind of vast wealth of income from Sky and BT now. Or do you promote the sport by sticking it on free-to-air television, the BBCs, the ITVs, or any of the other freebie channels that exist nowadays? Do you reach a bigger audience and therefore promote your sport stream of TV money? I would favour that, but I just can't see the football industry, as they called it, going for it.
I agree with what you're saying. The difference is with football and Formula One, and I suppose it's a Formula One coverage on Sky has got better. I will say that as someone that's watched it since, you know, I was a kid. But also the loss of tobacco advertising and alcoholic drinks advertising in all this, I think, is done the play compared to them telling me having a sponsor of Wonga than as an 18-year-old. I'm just as likely to be influenced by Wonga being on Liverpool shirts and with more financial damaging consequences than Carlsberg. Do you understand what I mean?
It's a total side point. But I mean, back in the day, cricket had the Benson Hedges tournament, so cigarette advertising, and there was golf had Johnny Walker and Formula One had Marlboro. I remember James Hunt driving a Marlboro car. In some ways, the online betting industry is the replacement for all of those other forbidden vice-based sponsorships, because that's
the one you see everywhere now.
Look
at the snooker, Nick. Look at the snooker. That was patent tobacco, wasn't it, really?
I mean, there's a saying that, you know, if advertising didn't influence people, why would they spend all that money on the thing itself? So the sponsorship must have gained Marlboro plenty of smokers by having it on the Marlboro McLaren team car and the cricket.
There's also a prestige to it as well.
There is a prestige. I don't know. I mean, I suppose there's a romantic view that if you stuck maybe the championship on free-to-air TV, which would, you know, slash TV income vastly for all the clubs, but would you gain more followers? I don't know. We live in a slightly different world now, don't we? It's multi-choice TV is normal, whereas once it was a novelty. And would it gain money? I don't know. Interesting question.
I'll tell you what, it'll be interesting to see what happens next season when Luton Town come up with that tiny little ground, Kenilworth Road, which, Nick, I'm sure you've been to many a time. I certainly have been there many a time. Tiny little ground in the back street.
Horrible ground.
It's got charm, but yeah, I'd agree.
What charm's that? It's appalling.
Doesn't have charm. It's worse than Dagenham and Redbridge's ground, and they play in the whatever the Northern Bostock League is called.
They play in the National League.
North Ferriby have got a better ground, and they've just gone out of business. They've been expunged from the football league.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, they're and Griffin Park.
I think Luton not building a new stadium, did I read that?
They've just agreed it, but it definitely won't be ready for what?
No, not for next season.
Are they still sponsored by EasyJet?
No, I don't know who they're sponsored by now. It's not EasyJet, but they're on a 27 match unbeaten run. It'd be interesting to see how much they spend when they come into the Championship, what they'll do when they come into the Championship in terms of numbers, in terms of budgets and stuff. They've got a new stadium to try and finance as well.
But Aaron, do you think they'll go back to... Do you think they will spend now, considering had their fingers burned in, 2005, 2006, and, you know, nearly went out of business and everything?
Who knows, pal? Who knows? It was 08-09, they had a 30-point deduction, do you remember?
Yeah.
30-point deduction.
But then loads of clubs have had that now. Leeds had deductions.
That's 30 points.
That's a lot.
In League 2, 30 points.
Why can't they do that to what happens if Bolton get a points deduction? I mean, really, or can't they just relegate Bolton and take a lot of strain off
this? It's the Acton Millwall weekly, what's going to happen to Bolton?
The Bolton situation is interesting. Now, I've read someone who's even asked, if Bolton, fold or whatever the situation is, and they lose their league share, does it mean that everyone just folds down a place, if you know what I mean? Everyone just moves down a place, or everyone moves up a place.
No, the bottom league would take someone extra, wouldn't they?
That's the thing. That's the idea that there'd be an extra coming through via the National League.
That's how they've done it in the past. I think when clubs have gone out of business in the past, and historically they've brought one extra in from the non-league world, so it was kind of topped up.
I mean, with Bolton themselves, you know, there's this talk about their stadium being shut for two games. Load of rubbish. I think that was all paper talk and sort of scaremongering by the chairman, scaremongering by a whole load of people that, you know, let's get the deal done. I think it's done by the chairman to try and push things through. I mean, why a health and safety certificate needs to be in place midway through the season? To my knowledge, health and safety certificates are done before the season starts with grounds, you know, where they check the grounds and they assess things. Plus, let's be fair, that's not exactly Kenilworth Road.
It's a decent stadium, Bolton.
No,
you know.
I think it was more a health and safety sign off by the police rather than anything.
The council said that they can't sign it off.
Yeah.
Very
strange.
Maybe. I don't know.
Just one other point on League One. I mean, Luton coming up seems to be a fairly strong bet. Portsmouth did very well in the week. They won last week. They won the Checker Trade Trophy, much maligned Checker Trade Trophy, but they seem fairly well set for promotion too. That's a big club coming up. I mean, that will change the dynamics of the league next season, won't it? I mean, I always enjoy Portsmouth as an away day. I think it's a good stadium. It's a good away trip. And another returning, I don't know if you call them a giant, but a big club come back from the wilderness, you know, as Luton have.
I think that's an offset against the fact that the two coming down are in an absolute dreadful state. The two that are coming down
from the Premier League.
They're
talking about Huddersfield and Fulham.
Fulham will spend a long time in the Championship again.
I have a feeling. Well, the thing is, again, I've been reading up on their obligations and wages. If you look at half that squad they've bought in on loan, they'll send them back, but they are going to halve their wage bill from £56 million to £28 million. In just by going down, they will halve their wage bill. But I have a bet with a Fulham fan that the lineup that they left the Championship with, they will line up with again, bar Mitrovic, because I can see someone like West Ham or someone like another Premier League outfit just going and picking up Mitrovic for £20-25 million.
They'll lose Sessegnon as well.
To be fair, I don't think they're too bothered about that. I don't think they're bothered about that at all.
That is an absolute crime that he sort of weren't given, well, not given a chance, but he wasn't used properly there because he was
bang average.
He wasn't, Harry.
What did he do? He scored tap ins.
Oh, sorry, no, that pass in the playoff, that pass in the playoff final arguably won the playoff final.
It was ridiculous. He had one good season. You went on like Mr. Right,
okay, Ronaldo. Harry, would you rather have Meredith or Sessegnon?
I'd rather have Joe Byron, who they bought as well. who was decent. they bought the same player. Fulham's fault was basically they decided to buy two of everything. They basically went in and decided to do that.
Well, not really, because Sessegnon's not a left back. He had to play left back. They didn't have a left back for about a year. So they sold Scott Malone.
Yeah, not an orthodox. They never had an orthodox left back, so they replaced him with an unorthodox left back.
Well, anyway, all good Millwall fans.
They're quite players off stats.
All good Millwall fans take pleasure in Fulham's demise, anyway. So there we are.
Exactly. I've never forgiven that. Fucking scoring a read in my dreams. Eve.
Achtung, Millwall. Ryan Tunnicliffe's ex-Fulham, isn't he?
Yeah. Talking from one player that Harry hates to Ryan Tunnicliffe.
I like Tunnicliffe now.
There's a story on the news at Den about his contract. He's, you know, obviously everything's up in the air pending which league we're going to be in next season. So he says, regarding his contract, don't know what the manager's thinking. Club's trying to stay in League One, so he don't want to make any decisions. Until the future is known, so that's fair enough. But in one thing I wanted to say, and I know that Harry, you've not been his greatest fan over the season, but I think the last few performances have been pretty good from Ryan Tunnicliffe. He was one. The midfield were on point, I thought, up at Elland Road, and it was a, you know, crucial part of that performance, I felt.
He has changed his role in this new three-man midfield. He's a lot more of the player. He's developed his tactical ability for this Millwall side to basically become Jimmy Abdu. I can deal with him being Jimmy Abdu, of screen the back four and play a 5 foot side foot pass.
Is that a
compliment. That's a Jimmy Abdu. You've become the Jimmy Abdu. All you need to do is score an injury time winner that keeps us up, and you'll go cult status, won't you? You know what I mean? That's the Millwall bipolarness. Basically, Thompson has room to grow, as we're all seeing. Leonard has room to grow. I think he's growing into the role. And Tunnicliffe, the last, as you said, 3, 4, 5 games since we've gone to this new formation, has made the position his own. I can't see Williams getting back in, if I'm being honest.
No, I'd agree with that. I think Williams looked well off the pace last time we did see him. And keep praising the performance. I know it was a losing performance at Leeds, but I just felt that we just looked so much better with that midfield. We just looked capable of springing breaks forward, which is our basic tactic, the counter punch, I think you described it as. So, no, I agree. The cavalry charge. Whether she get a contract, yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, depending which league we're in. But I would certainly...
It depends who else is out of contract as well, because I suppose wages, we'll need to have wages to spend on new players. And, you know, we need a goalkeeper. I think that's very clear.
We do. And you know, I know that Dave Martin made that penalty save, but I wasn't convinced. I still think he's better than Jordan Archer at the moment, but I wasn't convinced by his overall performance. So no, I think goalkeeping is going to be an issue, and it's one that needs to be solved in the summertime. I agree with you there. Achtung, Millwall. The MSC have announced a partnership. This has intrigued me, Michael. I'm going to bring you in on this.
Oh, indeed, yes. So there's a new partnership.
A partnership, yes. With the Jewellers, or a ska reggae gang.
How much?
The Jewellers.
Have you not been checking?
No, I haven't seen this. Catherine Gale's going to kill me.
Jewellers are they do ska reggae cover versions, and they're quite a nice sound. I'm intrigued. What's the thinking behind the tie-up with the ska reggae band?
Live at Harry's Bar up.
Yeah. Is it live at Harry's Bar?
Honest, this takes some of the beigeness out of Harry's by having a ska band rather than the jukebox in the corner that's been recently installed.
Is there a jukebox? I didn't see that.
No, that's what Harry's got. That's what Harry's going to install. Okay. Yeah. After the carpet's been laid.
So are they going to
the prison lighting removed?
Is this the idea? They're going to play like gigs or the car park show or something? What's
well,
the idea?
See, that's a later idea I've got. You've been mind reading, Nick. No, so basically what it is obviously the supporters club. What they're doing is they're some of the feedback that that the supporters club has got is, you know, to try and help promote local businesses and help promote local initiatives for other people. So, you know, there's some non-league football clubs tied up to partnerships, and also as well with the jewelers, they're quite a large they've got quite a large following in sort of like underground ska slash reggae, you will. So
there's a ska following at the Den. I mean, a lot of the older crowd follow the Madness and the full Jamaican ska scene from the '60s. So not a bad choice.
Were you a ska fan, Nick?
Me? Yeah, I like a bit of the classic Buster. And
was you a message to Rudy Singer?
Rudy, I don't know about Singer. I can't do the accent. I couldn't do a Caribbean accent.
Baggy trousers.
Without offending someone, you know. But it's an interesting tie-up.
I see Mr. Hart as more of a new romantic, definitely.
I was a new romantic fan, yeah. Duran back in the time, and
God.
Adam and the Ants and stuff like that.
Do you have them on 7-inch?
I went to see Duran. I went to see them at the Tottenham Court Road, the Astoria. And they were a really good band, actually. As were Adam and the Ants live, incidentally. They became a bit of a cliche later, but they were good. Good live band. Enjoyed it. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, there you go. No, this is
an episode of New Musical Express.
It's what it is. It's like VH1, isn't it? It's basically so with the Jewelers, they're a ska band from sort of the Bromley area. And what they do is from time to time they sort of go around sort of like local areas and they play local concerts, and they go around the sort of Bexley Heath area, Welling area, where there's still quite a large sort of Millwall fan base as well. We say they're underground, but you know, they've sold out places like Indigo O2, they've sold out sort of like the Churchill Theatre of Bromley. They do a lot of open air concerts, that sort of thing. Indeed, Mr. Warren, indeed. As part of the partnership is they offer 20% off of all tickets to their shows in the sort of south of England region, and also 10% off merchandise. We thought that'd be a nice little thing for the fans.
Nice idea. I think
is their merchandise better than the club shop?
We're going to move on to the club shop update in a moment, but I think that the Jewelers is an interesting type. It'd be nice to see a bit of music in. When you go to some away games, they often have, I remember Bristol City, we went there, they had like bands playing in, you know, the outdoor bars. It was a summertime game, and it just makes a nice
Wolves
event.
Have a DJ.
You know?
Wolves have a DJ in the ground.
We should see how many hashtags we get, or like we'll get something trending. Jewelers at the Den, then we can't be ignored. They can perform where the plastic blue line used to be.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall.
Before we go on to the club shop update, can I just mention the Isle of Caton match?
Yeah, go for it.
Absolutely.
This was organised by a group of people. The Isle of Caton appeal obviously is well known to the Mill support. Story of a little girl, West Ham supporting family. She had some great news that she was cancer free. She's gone to Barcelona, suffering with a condition called neuroblastoma, and the treatment out there has been successful. But she still needs she's in remission, so ongoing treatment. So more money's being generated. So Tony Monday, Johnny Reeves on Twitter, and a group of others organised a North versus South charity game, which I think was held up in Gateshead or Newcastle, somewhere up in the northeast. So this was a combined Newcastle and Sunderland side versus a Southern combined Millwall and West Ham supporting team. And apparently the day went very, very well. Tony asked me to give a mention to a few of the boys, the Millwall boys that went up there. Long way to go and a big effort to do this. Money generated a fantastic cause. So I'm just going to read out a few names here. That's obviously Tony Monday, who I hope to get on the show soon. And others include Gavin Smith, Cal Pulserfield, Jamie Pierce, Nick Harris, Stuart Hall, Danny Misson, and Alfie Arnold. So well done, all of you boys.
Yeah, well done, lads.
Yeah, congrats, boys.
Generating some nice good one. Money, and anyone wants to put money into justgiving.com. It's the Bradley Lowry Foundation that is the parent charity for Isla's case and others. So the Bradley Lowry Foundation and apparently went very well up there. So what a great gesture. Newcastle and Sunderland teaming up to play Millwall West Ham. Who'd have thought we'd see the day when that would happen? But as I've said a few times, a very special young lady to bring all those rival clubs together in such a great course. So well done.
It's good.
Well done to everyone there. Shall we pick it a pocket or two, chaps?
I thought it's not going to be Wonderwall Cup advert time then.
I'll play the Wonderwall Cup advert separately.
You're staring at the pocket handkerchiefs, eh, my dear? We just hung them up, ready for the wash, that's all.
Is this a laundry then, sir?
Yeah, that's right, a laundry.
Exactly, my boy. I suppose a laundry would be a very nice thing indeed.
But our line of business pays a little better, don't it, boys?
You're all right.
You see, Oliver, in this life, one thing counts in the bank, large amounts. I'm afraid these don't grow on trees. You got to pick a pocket or two.
So if you want to pick a pocket, you need an iPad 2, 3 or 4 pouch. What grade are the iPads on now? They're not, those are ancient history, aren't they?
We're on about 6 or 7 at the moment.
6 or 7. Okay, so if you're looking for your vintage iPad and you need a pouch, we all need a pouch from time to time. Do you think that your version of the latest Apple device is the one? And are you happy with being able to survive on only 500 megabytes of data? Well, if the answer to any of these is yes, head down to the Millwall Club shop where you can get an iPad. Not to be confused with iPad.
It's an iPad.
Not to be confused with an iPad, ladies and gentlemen. 2, 3, 4 pouch for only £3. That's quite a bargain, isn't it, actually?
Where do they sell them? At Lidl?
IP ad. this is the latest in bespoke fashion. And it's got like a blue, it's actually not bad. I mean, in fairness, I know we ridicule the club shop, but actually, although it's out of date, and I take that point, the product itself has got Millwall written along one side of it with a roaring line. It's quite a nice shade of royal blue. So it's not that bad, albeit
is it tasteful?
Vintage. It's tasteful.
Do you want one, Nick?
I haven't got that.
It's not that tasteful,
version.
Aaron.
I've got the latest version of the iPad, so it wouldn't fit in it. But
have you?
It's not that bad, actually. I've seen worse.
You're three convincing quid. Yourself. I think you've got Stockholm syndrome now, mate. You start convincing yourself that actually the people interning you to this life of terrible club shop tap are actually your friends.
That's right. Then my mates will go out and hang about.
What's the discount, Mr. Hart?
The discount is it's a 90% discount. It was 30 quid.
How much?
Originally, it was 30 quid. Gee, I mean, 3 quid.
£30.
In fairness, £3 seemed like a fair...
English pounds.
30 quid originally.
Apple don't charge you 30 quid.
I was just thinking, I mean, £3 seemed like a fair price for that. I thought, actually, that's not bad for 3 quid, you know, but 30 quid, they're having a laugh. It's a £27 discount, 90% discount. So well done the club shop. That's real business sense, isn't it? Great stuff.
Yeah.
Michael.
So the next time, so lads, do you lie awake at night alone wondering why doesn't anyone love you while you clutch your 10-inch Zampa?
Mate, I clutch my 10-inch Zampa most nights. But yeah.
For me it's my 7-inch Bellina.
Did you recently get dumped as your ex-partner thought you spent too much time down the cold blow lane than with her, or does your old duvet bear the old Millwall crest?
Can be a problem, especially if I'm clutching my old vintage iPad too.
There you are.
Especially when you're hiding behind the heyday score rolls in on final score.
Well,
final score, yeah, they're my employers.
I'm not knocking them. I just want you to say we won.
The answer is yes.
Well, the answer is yes. Then get down to the club shop because at a cost of only £15. Yeah, and with 40% off, so that it would have been £25. You can be lying under this lovely duvet whilst you swipe through the pages of Tinder, wondering why the recent women you've swiped have now blocked you.
Are we talking about someone we know?
Not at all. And no. No, The club shop cannot confirm whether single is the duvet size or marital status, and also this is currently number 7 in the top 10 list, so there is a lot of cold single people in South London.
The single crisp duvet is number 7 on the top 10 list. Wow.
Does it come in Egyptian cotton?
I think it's 100% polyester or like a nylon. It looks
very
like.
Scratchy.
I wouldn't put it on your Tinder profile, H, if that's, you know, don't be kind of like seen cheeky over the top of this, mate, you know? It's not gonna work. No.
Does it come in the king size?
King size, it's one size. Single. Very, very single, I think, if you kept it in that, yeah.
How much are we looking for that, young Michael?
That is, if I can scroll up to the top of the page, apologies. That is actually £15. So you get £10 off, 40%.
Not bad.
So that was it was originally £25, so it was actually originally less than the outdated iPad pouch originally.
So if you would have bought that while opening up your iPad pouch at full price, that would have cost you £55. It's now cost you £18. That's good business.
That is good business. That is great business. On to the next one, young Michael.
Well, I think, Mr. Hart, I may need to take this one if you don't mind.
Millwall car key.
This is the Millwall car key padded jacket.
Yeah,
so, is there anything that says Millwall Football Club more than car key?
No.
No? Are you still feeling the chill, although it's meant to be getting warmer? And do you find the backrest of the chairs in the Barry Kitchener stand just that bit too hard?
Right,
well,
it can be, yeah.
If this is for you, jump in the nearest Uber and make your way down to the club shop where you can get a Millwall khaki padded jacket at the bargain price, wait for it, of £35.
£35? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You can sit and enjoy potential relegation in style and safe in the knowledge that you'll be warm if we travel to Carlisle and Lincoln City next year.
Yeah. How much?
Oh, no. You mock. Please note, although there is a drop-down to change the colour, there is only the green to choose from. And yes, these coats were originally £70.
£70, Jesus Christ. One thing that's striking me, and I know the listeners can't see this because this is inherently radio. Hang on, what's this? What's that?
They weren't the jewellers, was it?
Radio is inherently a sound-based medium, isn't it, listeners? It is, but there's nothing inherently Millwall about this jacket. I'm just looking at it. I mean, it's described as a Millwall khaki padded jacket. It is certainly a padded jacket. It's not the worst one I've ever seen. It's khaki or green or whatever you want to call it. But I don't see anything overtly Millwall about it. I would describe that as less a Millwall khaki padded jacket and more a khaki padded jacket. What is doing lurking in the Mill Club shop is, well, that'd be my question to the shopkeeper if I was ever to cross-examine it. You know,
the label that looks like it's been
before, haven't you? The shop.
No, I haven't. No. It's one of my maybe once we might press the club to bring a spokesperson on sometime from the shop. They must have like a PR department all of their own in that shop, so maybe we'll get them on the show.
Would you call that quilted?
It's a quilted style, isn't it? Yeah. Quilted.
I'm not sure about the zip bit that comes off the zip, though, are you? It's quite long.
I mean, there's the green ones where you can turn, they've got like an orange inner lining, and they're designed for pilots. If you're maroon, you can turn your jacket inside out and they've got an orange and stand out in the wilds of Borneo or Yucatan or wherever you've crashed your plane or something. But this doesn't seem to have that orange in it, so it's not the worst jacket I've ever seen, but I wouldn't, you know, I'm not sure I'd go out my way to buy it.
They need to bring back the Millwall Donkey jacket.
The Millwall Donkey. Now, that might sell if it was done right. There's a lot of things that would sell if they were done right at the club shop, but they don't seem to do anything right.
But for £70, though, Nick.
That's strong. 35 seems a lot for it. But anyway, 70, no, you'd feel like you've been striped up. And finally, we've got a dressing room photo framed. Do you wonder what your name on the back of a Millwall shirt would look like? Have you got four friends who have the same dream and are equally as bad at football as you are? Would you like an item which Millwall FC fully licensed and approved? Yeah. Well, if the words that leave your mouth is, "Where do I sign, Michael?" then the personalised section of the Millwall Club shop is the place to be with the Millwall FC dressing room photo framed. Okay. At the bargain price of £29, that seems a lot. You too can take your FIFA and Pro Evo obsession that one step further by having this hung above the wall on your single bed whilst your mum washes your new crest duvet, probably while you're wearing your khaki jacket as well. Note the delivery cost is as long as the iPad's terms and conditions and will cost a fortune to get posted. Also, the cost from delivery may go towards that Bolivian superstar from last week who wears ponchos. Finally, we're unsure whether framed is yet another type. I think it is a frame. Is it an actual photo frame or is it, what does it contain? I'm unclear as to what this is that you're buying here. Is it a personalised picture of some sort?
It seems to be. It's a black framed.
Because I'd like to know what I'm buying for my £29. I'm not entirely clear what that is.
Who got indeed. What number, young Mickey?
Sorry?
Who got what number?
Well, there's Mr. Warren got number 3, the James Meredith of the group.
Nice.
Yeah. Yes, everyone, you can change the name and the number of the player, which
that's
makes
the
it
point
even more
of
personal.
It, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what the I think that's where the £29 comes in, because you're able to do it online. Aaron, right. You're right in the middle. You've got number 10.
Nice.
There you go. The Maradona. Mr. Hart, you've got the 4, yeah. Which
the
are
4. Okay. That's the Cahill. The Cahill shirt.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. And Harry, I think, has left us. I think Harry's had to go to save an engine or something. He's not with us.
What happened there?
He's off to Reactor 3.
He's probably been taken away for radiation treatment or something. Yeah. That's the club shop update. Fantastic stuff.
Lovely.
Next week.
Ahead to the weekend, let's have some score burritos. Millwall home to the Boing Boing Baggies.
I'm going to go Millwall. I fancy us to win it. I'm going to go Millwall 2, West Bromwich Albion 1. I think we'll do it. I think we'll get that result.
I will bite your hand off for 1-1.
1-1.
I'm going Millwall 1. In fact, I'll go with the same as you, Nick. Millwall 2, West Brom 1. I can see there being goals involved, and I can't see Millwall keeping a clean sheet. I think West Brom's front line is very, very decent indeed. But yeah, the Lions to win it 2-1, finally sorting out a half-decent win and actually holding on for the win as well. If you want to get involved with the Football Manager game, the Football Manager Network game, just drop one of us a DM and we'll pass you the details to log in and join the game. Any other business, Nick?
No, I think that's the Millwall news this week. Big thank you to Harry for joining us from Chernobyl's number one reactor. he's left us for the moment, but we'll bring you up to date with Harry's whereabouts in future shows. Big thank you to Michael for the evergreen club shop update.
That's the gift that keeps giving.
Hey, I tell you what, young Mickey, the old sale starts soon as well. So, hey, it's going to get even better.
Do you know what I've been thinking of doing? I've been thinking of actually in the next couple of weeks sort of researching eBay to see what shit knockoff items people are trying to flog. From
yeah,
that's,
a good,
that's the next level. Stay
yeah,
tuned.
Indeed,
listeners.
During the preseason. Stay tuned for that if anyone's got any crap, let me know. Don't send me pictures.
Don't forget the Father's Day special as well we'll have.
That's coming too. Yeah,
let me know time for Father's Day.
And a big thank you to Radio 5 Live, Star of Stage and Screen, Mr. Aaron Paul.
Thank you very much,
as usual.
Thank you.
Good to talk
to
you. Thank you to you, pal. I think Arriva Dirty Millwall is the best way we can leave it. So,
well, there's only one way to leave it properly. Young Mickey.
Bye for now.
Nice one.
Let them come, let them come, let them come. We're only here to beat them again. It's the best team in London. No, the best team of all. Everybody knows us. We're called Millwall. It's Saturday, it's cold, low lane, we've all come down to cheer. We've had our jelly eels, we've had our glass of beer. All the time, rain or shine, our families we'll bring. And as the Lions run on the pitch, everyone will sing. Let them come, let them come, let them come, let them all come down to the den.
Thank you.